The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, fellas. Go back in your Bible, if you will, go to the book of Acts chapter 9, the book of Acts chapter 9, and let's look at it again. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, "But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus." Now, I want to speak on something tonight I believe that we can learn from Barnabas. I preached a message around the country, and of course I preached it even in Cebu, about the model church member. And I want to use Barnabas tonight as a launching pad to be able to show us the need of being able to empower other people. You know, the work of God is an amazing work, but no one man can do the work of God entirely by himself, or no one woman can do the work of God entirely by herself. There has to be people that come along, and there has to be people that decide that they're going to be a part of that which is the work of God. I don't believe that God saved anybody just to come to church and sit on a pew. I don't believe that God saved anybody just to continue to take their Baptist nap and snore late until the midnight hour. I don't believe that God has saved anybody just to sit around and stew, you know, because you have problems and difficulties in your life. I don't believe you ought to sit around and pout. I don't believe you ought to sit around and bellyache, complain, criticize, gossip, or Facebook. I believe that you ought to be an individual that just decides to go on for Jesus Christ. So I want to speak to you tonight on the power of empowerment. The power of empowerment. Our Lord is probably the greatest example of this that we find in the Scriptures. The Bible teaches in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 1 through 33, about Jesus' typical day. What was the typical day like for the Savior of the world? You'll find out in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 33, that first off, you see there's the recording in his typical day where he healed a man that was sick of a palsy. From there, he saved and he rescued a man, then recruited that same man by the name of Matthew, or Levi, as you would know him from the beginning, to be an apostle. From there, you'll see that he had a meal with the publicans. From there, you see that he provided instruction to the disciples of John, of course, John the Baptist. There you'll see that he went over and he healed the daughter of Jairus. You'll see that he healed a woman after that was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. Continuing in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 33, you'll see that he healed two blind men. He healed a man possessed with a demon. And then after he did all these wonderful works, yes, he was publicly criticized. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 36, you'll see that there's the summary of the rest of Jesus' day. And in a nutshell, here's what he did. He went about doing good. He went about doing good everywhere, and he went about doing good to everyone. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, you see now Jesus is beginning to cast the vision of what leaders should become. Now, first off, he's given an example that he was about the work of God. He's given an example about the things that he, yes, as the Savior, only could do, but yet he shows that he is very much faithful to the cause of Christ and fulfilling the will of God for his life. Then you'll see that he goes about doing good. He goes about helping people. Then you'll see that here in Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 through 38, that Jesus now begins to cast the vision about what true leadership is. Then in Matthew chapter 10, you'll see that Jesus presents what a spiritual leader is supposed to be as a spiritual leader. Stay with me now, volunteers. So for those that are leaders that are going to take on a spiritual leadership role, he begins to lay out a criteria that those leaders are supposed to follow. We see this. We see three important facts, that not everyone is going to be a public leader. But you do not have to be a public leader in order to be a leader. You don't have to preach in the pulpit in order to be a leader. You don't have to sit on the platform in order to be a leader. You don't have to be chosen, if you will, please, to sing in a special group in order to be a leader. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher in order to be a leader. You don't necessarily have to be the bus captain of one of our 9 bus routes in order to be a leader. You do not have to be somebody that plays a musical instrument in order to be a leader. We do understand that not all leaders are public leaders. Besides, if all leaders were public leaders, then who would be the followers? I've said often, if you're pretending or trying to be someone else, who's going to be you while you're gone? Everybody has a place to be. Everyone must accept their strengths and their limitations, their weaknesses and their boundaries in leadership. I have never met a leader that has it all together. I've never met one. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, if we were to have him in our very presence physically tonight, I could tell you I met a leader that had it all together. But other than the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not one leader I've ever met in America or in the Philippines or in another country that had it all together. Because leaders always have to work on themselves. And they always have to be in a place where they allow God to work on them. So everyone that is a leader has to learn to accept their weaknesses, their strengths, their limitations, and even their boundaries. You'll see this, that a leader normally that God uses is going to be somebody that at least exhibits a form of meekness and to some degree humility. Because if they're not meek and they're not humble, most of the time they're trying to lead according to their own abilities and their own characteristic traits, which means that they're relying on the flesh. And as we've often learned here from the pulpit, the flesh will fail you. The key to that which is, or the criteria to that which is a spiritual leader, I know this will shock you, but the key or the criteria to a spiritual leader is somebody that's spiritual. Now, in order to be spiritual, you have to do spiritual things. And as we look at Barnabas tonight, we're going to see that here is a spiritual man. I'm going to prove it to you tonight. And here's a man that was used of God. His name means son of consolation. Barnabas was an encourager. He was a person that would be able to empower somebody else to serve God, if for no other reason, no other way, because he encouraged people. He was not somebody that was always patting himself on the back. Matter of fact, not one time in your Bible do you see that Barnabas ever patted himself on the back. But Barnabas was always lifting somebody else up. Barnabas was always trying to help somebody else get closer to God. Barnabas was always trying to help somebody else be that one that will fulfill God's will in their lives. Barnabas was one that knew how to empower somebody and get out of the way so that that person could reach their utmost potential in serving Jesus Christ. So what was it that God saw in Barnabas? Let's use your Bible. Go back to Acts chapter 9, and I want you to use your Bible tonight and look at these verses. They'll mean a whole lot more to you if you see it in your Bible tonight. Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest." Now notice in Acts chapter 9 and verse 2, "And he desired," it said, "him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any in this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Now wait a minute, here is this emerging, if you would please, prospect. I mean, here's this guy that's going to emerge out of that which is an unsaved man, become a saved man, and then become a leader. But I want you to note, even though here he was, and Saul would be the type of person that would sit in the back of the church or the synagogue, and what he would do is when the man of God would get up to preach, he would heckle him. He would make fun of him. He would give threatenings about him. Oftentimes, recorded, you'll see that Saul would even follow them to their place of residence, and he would write down things that would be charges against them. Then he would deliver them into that which was custody, and then he would stand, and he would give witness against that person, making sure that that person would be persecuted, yes, even sometimes unto death. Now, this was Saul, but how is it that God saw Saul? In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, here's what you see, an incredible vision that God had for Saul. The Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel." He says, "To bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, and I will show him how great," watch what it says, "things he must suffer for my name's sake." Now, wait a minute. Here's what God saw in Saul before Saul became the Apostle Paul. What did he see? He didn't see a man lost and undone. And by the way, listen to me. You're in the Dallas metro area. Millions of people live here, but God has a will for their life. We know, first off, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know it is God's will that a person not only hear the gospel, but receive Christ as Savior. However, I would tell you, not everybody chooses to do the will of God. Not everybody chooses to become that which is a believer in Jesus Christ. But we understand this. Here is a man. Here is a man that stood against the church of God. Here is a man that cast that which was Christians, professing Christians that were living a wonderful work for God, into prison. He stood against them, made sure that they were perhaps even put to death. And here is this, you would look at this, what we could call an emerging, if you would please, prospect, and you would say, no way is God going to use him. But God had a different vision. See, we see people come on the bus route and we say, no way is God going to use them. Look at the household they came from, a filthy and dirty and vile in their mouth. Yeah, sounds like Saul. I mean, we think there's no way that God could use them. I mean, look at where they came from, that little boy and that little girl, and look at them, and there's just no way that God would have a plan for their life. And I would disagree with you, because God has a plan for everybody's life. Here's what we understand. This emerging prospect was somebody that needed a right foundation. What is that foundation? That's Jesus Christ. You can never serve God until you get saved by God. And that is only through Jesus Christ. Now, don't hang your head low tonight, but I'm going to tell you, the Mormons are wrong, Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong, Christian Science is wrong, those that believe that you get saved by baptism, regeneration is wrong, but I'll tell you this, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, Jesus Christ is the one that saves. Jesus Christ is the one. You don't have to hang your head down when a Jehovah's Witness comes by. No, sir. You pick up your Bible. You show them what the Bible says. You take a stand for Jesus Christ. Why? Let God be true and every man a liar. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying that here God saw in this individual that there was a foundation when he receives Jesus Christ that could be laid. And by the way, listen to me. He had a faithful start. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 18. The Bible says, "And immediately there fell," it says, "from his eyes, as it had been scales. And he received sight forthwith. And the Bible says, "And arose and was baptized." So as soon as he got saved, the scales fell off. Come on. Bible teaches before salvation, we're dead in trespasses and sin. But when you get saved, God quickens you. God makes you alive in Christ Jesus. Before a person is saved, they come to church. They can know the facts and the figures of the Bible, but they don't know the truth of the Bible. Why? Because the Bible teaches that it is spiritually discerned. So once that Holy Spirit comes alive, now they can spiritually discern the truth of God's word. What does that mean? That means you have special insight as a child of God through the Holy Spirit. So now we see that he has a faithful foundation. Not only that, he has that which is a fundamental strengthening. Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 19. The Bible says, "And when he had received meat, he was strengthened." Now you understand, he's been weak now for several days. His sight has been gone. Now he's received sight. He's going to take some meat. He's going to get some strength. And the Bible says, "And Saul was certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus." Look at verse 22. The Bible says, "And Saul increased more in strength and confounded the Jews." Boy, he didn't wait long, did he? After he got saved, he got with it. After he got some strength, he got with it. By the way, how much strength do you need to get with it? You don't need much strength. Just a little meat, just a little bread, ready to go. All right? He says this. He said, dwelt at Damascus, says, approving that was this very Christ. So what do you do? He said, man, I'm going to prove to you. You don't know who Christ is? I'm going to prove him to you. Hey, this is a new believer. This is somebody energized. This was before the Energizer bunny came along. I mean, man, he's got a battery that keeps on ticking. He's getting out there and he's giving it everything he's got. Watch this. Not only did he have a fundamental foundational belief, but also you'll see this, that he was fervent. Look at verse 20. Acts chapter 9 and verse 20. The Bible says, and straightway he preached, it says, Christ in the synagogues. Now here he is. This is Saul preaching Christ in the synagogues, and he is the Son of God. This is the same guy that was in the back of the church heckling. This is the same guy that was in the back of the church threatening. This is the same guy that was asking for papers against those men and women that lived in Damascus. And here he is. He gets saved. And can I tell you tonight, when you get saved, God will change your life. Amen. Here's what we understand. Here is that which is an emerging leader. Wait a minute. What did he need? Well, he needed some friends. Now, we understand this. We understand that he had friends long before Barnabas ever showed up. The Bible says over in Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, and Ananias, it says, went his way and entered into, it says, the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul? So there was Ananias long before Barnabas ever showed up. You don't read much about Ananias, but he was there. You don't read much about Barnabas, but he was there. Acts chapter 9 and verse 19, the Bible says, then was Saul, it says, certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. You don't read much about those disciples, but they were there. You see, you don't have to be somebody that has your name up in lights to allow God to use you. Boy, I tell you what, I wish God would see me. He does. Matter of fact, Bible says he has numbered every hair on your head. Not only does he see you, he knows the hair on your head. He also knows the weight on your body. Okay, we won't go there tonight. But here's what we understand. We understand that he had the right type of friends. Acts chapter 9 and verse 25, the Bible says the disciples took him by night. And let him down, it says, Acts chapter 9 and verse 25, let him down the wall in a basket. So here he was, he got a new believer, just a new believer. And boy, he's getting out there and he says, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. And he gets out there and they threaten him so much that the disciples that were at Damascus had to let him over top of that which was a building down into a basket. Why? Because they threatened to kill him. Now, wait a minute. This is that one that is the emerging. I'm not talking about an emerging church, which I believe is ungodly. I'm talking about here's a person that is saved and he is coming out. He is becoming somebody that God is using. Step number one, there's the emerging prospect. Step number two, there's the empowering partner. Now watch this. Saul's ministry was coming to a standstill now. After he left Damascus, all the things that were taking place, you could see. And by the way, can I tell you, on one hand, he had people that were scorning him, criticizing him, opposing him, did not believe that he had really changed. On the other hand, he had people that were scared to death of him. I mean, scared that he had even had a conversion that's taken place in his life. Acts chapter 9 and verse 26, the Bible says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assailed to join himself to the disciples, but it says, they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was one of the disciples. All right, so he was fearful by the people. They feared him. I mean, these men of God said, wait a minute, this is the guy. We heard about the guy. We don't really believe he got saved. By the way, can I tell you something? Everybody deserves a chance. You say, oh man, he showed up and he's got more tattoos than skin. And he showed up and he doesn't have the Christian talk, the Christian walk. I mean, come on, preacher. You expect us to love him? Jesus sat beside publicans and sinners. They made fun of Jesus. Well, preacher, if I bring them to church, I mean, after all, we have a nice auditorium. Yes, and it was prepared for them. But preacher, if we bring all the snotty-nosed little bus kids, preacher, we run 9 bus routes. How many more are you going to add? As many as I can. But preacher, if you bring a bunch of snotty-nosed little bus kids, by the way, if you got saved because of the bus ministry, would you stand? You got saved because of the bus ministry. Would you look around? These are people in our church tonight that got saved because somebody sent a bus by. Hey, wait a minute, okay? At what age did you get saved? First grade. What age? Okay. 10, 7, 10, 6, right here through the bus ministry. 17 through the bus ministry here. You came here from the bus ministry? That doesn't count. No, I'm kidding. Now what? Look. Hey, we got young people. We've got older people. We got people that's getting older. We got tall people, short people. Man, we got people that own their own businesses. Hey, I'm telling you, the bus ministry works. Thank you. Be seated. Watch this. And so here's what we see. We see this guy. Nobody believed in him. Just a few. Ananias. And he was scared. He even questioned the Lord. But he went anyway. Those that were the disciples at Damascus, they said, man, we've seen what he's done. We believe him. Put him in a basket. Save the guy's life. You know, then all of a sudden he goes over trying to join himself to the spiritual disciples. And they were afraid of him. And they said, man, we heard about this guy. Don't even know if we can trust him. But then there's Barnabas. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the disciples and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how that he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And so here was the guy standing up for him. Said, wait a minute, don't be afraid of him. Ho! Man, he's out there trying. Might not look like you yet. Might not smell like you yet. Might not walk like you yet. But at least he's doing it. Amen. I don't get mad at me tonight. I'm not slapping at you. But normally it's the people that criticize the most that do the littlest. Can I tell you, here he was. He was out there. Maybe from time to time he said a word he shouldn't have said. Maybe from time to time he smelt like he shouldn't have smelled. Maybe from time to time as God was cleaning him up and preparing him for apostleship. Maybe from time to time he didn't have his act together. But can I tell you, dear beloved friend, at least he was trying. Acts chapter 9 and verse 27, the Bible says, but Barnabas took him. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that here Barnabas had the power to be able to say, wait a minute, this guy is doing it. He is empowering this man. Now, watch what he's doing. He's boasting on him. He said, man, I saw him. Here Barnabas knew the Bible better than him, no doubt at that time. But he said, hey, I saw him. Man, he's doing a great job. Now, why can't we do that with a new believer? Amen. Man, I saw him. No, they're not what they ought to be. Yes, they are growing. But there was a time, dear beloved friend, that you were not what you should have been either. And somebody had grace and somebody loved you and somebody stood beside you and somebody was patient with you. Hey, thank God for Barney. Barnabas was somebody that simply did what he was supposed to do. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 2, the Bible says, let another man praise thee and not thy own mouth. A stranger, not thine own lips. Well, let me tell you what I did. 5 years ago. 3 years ago. 2 years ago, 1 year ago. That's all good, but can I tell you, keep doing it. Keep doing it. You know, I found out most people remember you not by how you lived, but the way you were living right before you died. Honest. I've seen people that have fallen into sin, but lived righteously up until the point of death. That's how they're remembered. I've seen people that have quit on God, disappeared into the dust of Christianity in the desert somewhere. That's how they're remembered, somebody that was. Hey, here's what we understand. I'm hastening now. I'm not in too big of a hurry, but I'm hastening now. We understand that there's that boasting on what he did do. He is praising Saul. He is patting him on the back, Barnabas is. There was 40,000 fans that gathered in the Oakland Stadium back when Ricky Henderson tied Lou Brock's career stolen base record. By the way, Lou was there. He was the one that had left baseball in 1979, and he showed up for Henderson that day. Somebody asked him, "Why are you here? He's going to break your record." He said, "I hope he does. I'm cheering for him." Amen. He said, "It took me 19 years to make it. It's only taken him 12 years to break it. I'm on his side." Amen. Boy, that ought to be us. Amen. I can't believe that they had more on the bus than I did. You ought to be saying, "Praise God, somebody did." I can't believe it. Man, it just bothers me. Why are they being used of God more than me? You ought to praise God. Somebody's being used of God. Amen. Acts chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, Then departed Barnabas, to Tarshish to seek Saul. So there was a time Saul got saved. There was a time when Saul went back to Tarshish, his homeland, and now all of a sudden there was a great revival. As you remember how there in Antioch, many, many people had believed, and there in the church of Jerusalem, where I believe that Barnabas was a church member, the pastor got up and said, "Look, somebody's got to go there and check it out. Is it real?" I mean, we're hearing that all these people got saved at Antioch. Is it real? So I need a volunteer. And so Barnabas volunteered. They knew that he would give a good, wholesome, sound, complete, true report. He went down to check it out. But before he did, he said, "Man, I'm going to slide over there. And I'm going to go over there. And I'm going to get that which is Saul. I'm going to go get Saul. Because this would be another opportunity for Saul to grow." So he went all the way over there to get Saul of Tarshish and said, "Hey, come on." By the way, Moses did that. Moses took Joshua with him and said, "Hey, come on." Elijah did that. He took young Elisha with him and said, "Hey, come on." Jesus did that. He took the 12 with him and said, "Hey, come on." Barnabas did that. He took Saul there with him to Antioch. He said, "Hey, come on." I'm saying this, you don't have to live your life and die your life by yourself. You can get others involved. See, here's a problem we have in Fundamental Independent Premillennial Hillfire, Brimstone, Soul Winning Separated Baptist Churches. We got the soul winning down. But after somebody gets saved, we just kind of leave them on their own little island. Here's what we do. We have friends with a select few. And that's it. New people come to church. You fellowship with the same people all the time. Now, can I tell you, let's be more like Barnabas and look for people to help. Spread yourself out. Go find somebody you don't know and say, "Hey, can I sit with you?" Go find somebody you don't know and say, "Will you sit with me?" Find somebody. Go down there to Sweet Frog. Find somebody, go to McDonald's tonight. Find somebody. You say, "Well, preacher, what if they're a bad influence?" Well, if you're such a good influence, maybe you'll wear off on them. I'm not saying go to the bar. I didn't say, "Hey, go find somebody, go to the bar and get drunk tonight." I didn't say do that. I didn't say, "Hey, go find somebody, go down to the disco and disco." Well, I guess that's what you do. That's what Brother Crutcher told me. But I didn't say that. I'm saying this. I'm saying tonight, understand, find somebody, go love somebody, help somebody, reach out to somebody, care about somebody, shake somebody's hand, give somebody a smile, take them out to eat. You pay for it. Here's an emerging prospect. Here's a prospect, if you would please, that's now being empowered to be a partner. Last thought, here it is. And there is somebody encouraging him to reach his potential. You know, the progression is now, all of a sudden, it's changing. Now it's not Saul saying, come with me. Now it's Paul saying, let's go check on the churches. How do you know when somebody's grown enough? I'll tell you, because now they want to drive. Come on. You ever see somebody get their new driver's license? Especially a girl. Most girls are like, you know, I got my driver's license, but really, I'd prefer you drive. I say all girls, I said most girls. You know, I mean, I would prefer you really drive. You know I got my license, but you know, hey, would you drive? But then after a while, they get used to it. And now you're getting ready to walk out the door and they're already out there in the seat saying, I'm ready when you are. And they're ready to drive. Come on. First time our CDL drivers get their bus license and they get behind the wheel of a gigantic whale. And they're going to take that bus through the neighborhood, an 80-some passenger bus. There's that tail that just wags around all behind them. And they are so scared. I've seen some of our college guys get their CDL license. And man, I'm telling you, they sweat. It's all over the wheel. It's all over their seat. They're breathing. Windows fogging up. I mean, it's horrible. Then after a while, they get confident. That's when they start running over everybody's mailboxes. It's when they go through the neighborhood and older people running for their lives. It's Parkside hell. There's the encouraging of the potential. The progression is now Saul is being recognized more and more by Barnabas. You can do it. 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 Come on, let's go soul winning. You can do it. Come on, open your Bible. You can preach this. Come on, do that Bible study. You can do it. Come on, you can pray. God will answer your prayers. You can do it. Yes, you can be faithful. You can be faithful. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. And you'll notice that first thing that he does is he encourages people monetarily. He gives money in the church. First thing he does. Acts chapter 4 and verse 36, the Bible says, Joas, the Bible says, who was by the apostles, surnamed Barnabas, which was being interpreted the son of consolation, says a Levite, and it says of the country of Cyprus, it says having land, Acts chapter 4 and verse 37, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So the very first thing he did to get involved is he gave money. That's the first thing he did. Then after that, Acts chapter 11 through Acts chapter 15, you see that Barnabas is encouraging a young church to be able to grow, and he's helping churches to be able to grow. And then Barnabas connects up with Saul, and 17 times you'll see Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul. He wouldn't let go of the guy. He just would not let go of the guy. Come here, Brother Craig. He wouldn't let go of the guy. This is Barnabas. So I didn't know Barnabas didn't have any hair. I didn't either. Here's Barnabas, okay? Barnabas would take young Saul, and Barnabas would say, hey, Saul, where are you going? And he'd grab him, and he'd just kind of pull him along. Hey, you know, I need to go over here. You know, I've got to milk the cow. He'd just pull him along. Hey, you know, I need to go mow my lawn. Just pull him along. Hey, you know, I tell you what, I just don't know if I want to. He'd just pull him along. Wasn't mean about it, but he was consistent. 17 times, Barnabas And so I'm closing it down now. Think about this. You'll see that he was an encourager. Now, because of that, God began to use that which was Paul. Then you'll see there was a great division between the two. They divided. That which is Barnabas tried to encourage his nephew to come back on the missionary journey, and the apostle Paul said, "Now I don't want him." But Barnabas had a burden for his nephew, and he wanted to get his nephew to come, John Mark. But that which was apostle Paul said, no, we're not going to do it. Now you can look at that two ways. First off, Paul should remember where he came from. Let the boy have a chance. Second off, you never read about Barnabas anymore after that, because he was looking at that which was John Mark more than he was looking at the will of God. And John Mark, I believe, got Barnabas out of the ministry. So you've got to be very careful. You make sure when you're pulling somebody along that you're pulling them along in the right direction. That's why I'm saying it's very, very important. David, come here. It is very important that you be able to get people around you, get people around your kids that will help you. See, if David's got this around him right here, and I am pulling David, I'm just one person. I'm just one person. You can walk towards me if you want. I'm just one person. That's it. That's it. He can resist me. Go ahead. And I'm just one person. I'm just one person. I only got so much in me. Well, let's say that somebody else comes along. We want to help David. So there's two of us. Let's say somebody else comes along. It's a dad. Dad loves his son. He wants to help David. Now there's three of us. Let's say somebody else comes along. Man, he wants help. He's a youth director. Youth director dives in. We're trying to help David do something. We're trying to help him. We're not leading him to go smoke pot. We're not saying, hey, go over there and drink, get drunk. Brother Yao, come here. We're just trying to help him. Man, we got a dad helping. We got a preacher helping. We got a youth director helping. We got an activities director helping. We got now a bus director. He gets in there and he helps. So, oh, preacher, why does he need all those people? Because he's David. Got a music director. Music director's helping. You say, oh, come on, he can't be that bad. No, he just needs as much help as you. Now I've got a Christian school teacher getting ready to dive in. Christian school teacher jumps in. A principal, if you will. The big dog. He jumps in. See, this is not bad. David tries to pull away a little bit. I didn't even feel it. Didn't bother me none. David rebels one day and tries to stop dead in his tracks. Didn't bother me none. I just kept going. May I submit to you? That's what Saul needed. May I submit to you? That's what Saul had. He had disciples at Damascus. He had Ananias. He had Barnabas. And now he's got the big dogs. He's got the apostles of Christ. You know, the more people you can get involved in your children's lives that are righteous, holy, godly people, better off they'll be. You know why? Preacher can't do it all. Are you listening to me? Daddy can't do it all. Most of you think that your kids are angelic. You think they got a halo over their head. Somebody tries to correct your daughter, tries to correct your son, you get all bent out of shape. What you fail to realize, they may be seeing something you don't see. Because you got blind spots. So when somebody kicks your teenager, don't get mad at them. Thank God somebody cared enough to help them. Come on, one more time. Here we go. So what are you doing? I've had a burden for these guys for months. It's called a weight loss program. You got it. Bible says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. There was division between the two. Thank you, David. And they went different directions. Didn't have to be that way. Didn't have to be that way. Somebody said this, greater things happen when you give others the credit. William Arthur Ward said this, flatter me, I may not believe you. Criticize me, I may not like you. Ignore me, I may not forgive you. Encourage me, I will never forget you. Isn't it true? It's true. Pick somebody and help somebody. Just pick somebody and help somebody. You know, I you know how I am. Man, I love tracks. Because tracks to me are windows of opportunity. I love tracks. Pass them out everywhere we go. Love tracks. I just love them. You know? When you bury me in a track casket. No, don't. It'll rot in one day. But maybe the worms will get saved, amen? No, I'm kidding. I love the tracks. Then I walk into restaurants or I leave a restaurant. Normally I'll try and at least find the last couple I see sitting. Did that today. Little couple, or no, it was a guy. It was a guy, it wasn't a couple. It was one person. He's on the phone. I said, hey, man, this is for you. He looked up. He said, hey, thank you. He didn't throw it back at me. He didn't spit at me. He said, thank you. See, to me, it's a window of opportunity. But now watch, I want to show you something. If we're not going the right direction, we're languishing and perishing, and eventually we'll start to go the wrong direction. See, you're going to fill your life with something. You're going to fill your life with something. Come on. Ms. Palmer, can I say that about that track? Is that okay? Give me permission. Ms. Palmer came to my office. And she said, preacher, I want to show you something. And she had put an excellent track together. And she said, I'm just using it for me, passing it out. And I said, man, that is neat. Can I have some? She gave me a little stack. Hey, look, what am I saying? Use what you can for the Lord. Some of you can draw. Use it for God. Why waste it? Some of you can sing. Now, I love all of our singers. I was sitting here Wednesday night. Hemminger's got up to sing. First time they ever sang in our church. Man, I'm sitting there thinking. I mean, I just like, normally I study my notes a little bit right for somebody, because, you know, this one thing I do, I follow the Apostle Paul. So I study my notes. Yeah, they got up to sing, and I'm like, I'm thinking, man, don't end. Just keep going. Give me 5 minutes. I need 5 minutes. I'll teach my message in 5 minutes. Keep going. Just keep going. What's that called? Using a talent for the Lord. And by the way, everybody in here can be used of God. Barnabas, man, look, can I tell you? Barnabas was shy. He reminded me of Andrew. But when it came time to speak up, Barnabas spoke up. He used what he had at the right time. You'll either use your abilities for God, for yourself, or for the wicked one. Why not just use it for God? Why not just have fun? Well, you know, so-and-so said something about me. It hurt my feelings. Get over it. Grow up. Love Jesus. Come on. Say, where'd you find that? In the Bible. I didn't. I found it in Wells. Use your ability to love and help people. Give the gospel out and care. Somebody needs you. Do what you should do. Father, help us tonight, please. We love you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.